said me.
Come on, me.
Only then will I be free.
Come on, me.
Oh, she was hiding me, and every girl face I see.
Come on, me.
All right, yeah, we are back for another episode of the Bow River Brigade podcast, which is a bit of a tongue twister. Let's just call it BRB footy.
Why not? That's what we are on social media, hey?
Exactly. It's just, let's cut it down, you know, economy of words and all. My name's Shafe Doogie, alongside me as always. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. We've had some cavalry wins since we've last talked. You know, the weather's getting good. Great for footy.
Weather's getting good. Cavalry are getting good. They had one busy June, and we'll cover all the latest games here in a minute. But let's start off with a little bit of your Cavs news and the success of the Cavalry's development program. You know, just a little over, I think, a week ago, another young Cavs player was picked up by one of the big clubs. So we have to give Victor Latoure his flowers.
3.5 great years with Cavalry FC and, a Mount Royal product and a product of the Foothills Football Club.
Oh, yeah.
He's been a great player for us, and we've really, really, as we've said, seen him progress in the last year or two.
Yeah, I remember when he first started with the club, he was just a skinny teenager ready to make a mark. And then by the time he left, he was another big man on the pitch.
Yeah, he's put the work in, and you know, this is you can see that with everything that has to do with his play, with his, you know, his attitude, and we aren't the only ones that noticed that. Ross County of the Scottish Premiership has noticed that, and they've signed him to a permanent deal.
Yeah, we won't see him back here anytime soon, but I'm going to try to catch some of Ross County's games next year in the Scottish Premier League. Are they second division, first division?
They are in the Premiership, so they are first division.
That's
awesome. Yeah, they've been a little up and down the last, 5-10 years, but they stuck in last year and they're there again this year, so it'll be very interesting to, you know, to see what the young Calgarian has for them.
Sad to see him go, but proud to see another CPL talent gaining the attention of some of these bigger clubs, these bigger leagues, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah, you know, and he's really going to be missed, but like, what an opportunity for that lad. I think it's really going to be vital for his development, you know, much like Pepl, who we'll get to a little later in the podcast here. These types of moves, whether they're always getting starting minutes or this or that, it's a huge, huge step for some of these guys.
Yep.
And they're getting a lot of great training, a lot of great a lot of great time with some proper footballers who are likely going to be there, you know, to help this 21-year-old kid.
Fantastic for Latoure and fantastic for Canadian soccer too, you know, with a little bit more training, get some of those real footballers' influences on him and help him develop. Maybe we'll see him crack into the Canadian national team lineup in a few years.
Yeah, you never know. And that's going to be a tough team to crack into these days, but you better believe they're going to be looking for young guys to get in there, and that's how they did the latest revolution in Canada soccer, is
Absolutely.
Finding those young guys who can really slot into the team properly.
Yeah, huge congratulations to Victor, and hopefully we'll have Victor on the podcast here maybe in the coming weeks or so once he's getting settled into Scotland, and yeah, maybe just pick his brain on the development of his career.
Yeah, it'd be great to talk to him and great to see, you know, like you said, how he's settling in and just what his goals and things like that are while he's over there.
Going to be tough not seeing him at Spruce, but it's been great seeing all the talent that's being developed at for Spruce. And, you know, I have to say, Spruce Meadows is, I loved it from the beginning, and it's only growing more and more on me. You know, when you can spend the entire afternoon there, they really put on almost like a festival-like atmosphere that's just fantastic for the whole family.
Well, my opinion, it's got to be, if not the best, one of the best stadiums in the entire CPL. I mean, I've been to Pacific Stadium before. that stadium is pretty darn fun. They have a good atmosphere there. The grounds aren't quite as nice, you know. They don't have as much space to work with.
Yeah, Spruce has so much space out there.
And it's great, you know. You see all these little these little pop-up games and things like that for kids. And, they have lots of room to go wander at halftime, even if you're not getting food or getting a drink, just stretching your legs.
Yep, live music and everything. Yeah,
there's just always stuff to see.
It's a destination, somewhere for the whole family. And, you know, I think it might be something that some of the other teams in Calgary could learn from, like the Stamps, the Flames. You know, they're kind of locked more into the downtown, into the heart of the city. They don't have the room to grow. But, I mean, when you look at the Stamps, they are playing in the oldest stadium in the CFL. And they're only filling it probably about halfway on a good day. So, I mean, now we're having the Cavalry are almost hitting attendance records. Like, they almost hit an attendance record, I think, for this last Edmonton game with about 5,000 tickets sold. So, you know, I would love to see all of football under one roof. I say bring the Stamps to Spruce Meadows, build them a new, better stadium that can, you know, they can fill to capacity, because that's what we want. We want to see the fans filling the stands. So I would love to see maybe Spruce Meadows by the Stamps.
Well, and I think you had mentioned, you know, on the weekend that's circulating in the news.
There's
and,
some rumors.
Something like that would be great. It'd bring a lot of opportunity, A, to the Stampeders. Like, just think about how much nicer tailgating is there rather than along Crowchild at McMahon. And, it's got the room. It is a little bit out of the way for some people, but I think that's just going to push the transit infrastructure to step its game up and make sure that, you know, it can cover getting people down to that area and getting people out of that area back home safely. And
Ring Road is almost done. It'll make it a little easier to get out to those games. And, you know, I ran into a good friend of mine, Dave McIver, down at the grounds. He's the sports guy for Sue and Andy on 770 CHQR every weekday morning. I was actually talking to Dave a little bit about this very topic. What do you think sets Spruce Meadows apart from, say, like the Stamps? I know it's like you have to travel a lot further than you do for a Stamps game, but what makes it different?
It's location helps it a lot. Like, I do think that where it is in Spruce Meadows and having all that green space and all those amenities that you can kind of flip over and use for different things. Like, you know, their food stands, they've always used, right? But it's just the way it all sits in there together. You look at the Saddle Dome, you look at McMahon, they just don't have a lot to offer. I'm not the first person to say it. The first person in sports to say it either. The Stamps do their absolute best with what they have there. And, they had the Gridiron Gardens on Saturday night, which was bumping live music down at the old practice field there. I just think, Spruce Meadows, with what they have, they utilize it so well in terms of making you're not going to a soccer match. You're going to an event, and there's a soccer match that's going on around you. And I just think the way they do it there, they do it so well.
We'll hear more from Dave a little later on in the episode when we look back over the most recent game against FC Edmonton. But first, let's start with a look at the Cavs' recent run of form.
Another great month of football for the Cavalry. We've had 3 wins, 0 losses in June thus far. One more game remaining to make it a perfect month. June's proven to be just as fruitful as May was.
Yeah, and I think the last loss that the Cavs actually had was that May 25th game against the Vancouver Whitecaps that ended in penalty kicks and ended our run there in the Canadian Championship. But wow, Cavs are doing well.
And close game. And I mean, if you look back, the last loss in the CPL was April 22nd. So almost a month before they lost against the Whitecaps, against York United. Tough game. That was their third game in the 3-game road trip to open the season out in Ontario. As we had said on our podcast before, that's a tough, tough run of games. Ontario, you know, it's humid out there. They're tough teams, and doing that stretch of games there was not easy. And they still managed to get a draw against Forge, mm-hmm. and since then they haven't looked back. You know, one draw against Halifax, and then win. So
yeah, they've definitely pulled their socks up since, you know, a bit of a rocky start maybe, and now they find themselves at the top of the table going into July with Forge, you know, nipping at their heels a bit.
Yeah, you know, it is going to be a very, very crucial stretch of games coming up here. They're really going to want to maximize their points because, you know, dropping a point here, a point there, losing, dropping 3 points, mm-hmm. that could really catch up to us depending on, you know, what teams are winning. So
yeah, and the Cavs, you know, great run of form, and I was honestly worried, a bit worried, with all the injuries that we have right now and been dealing with, but the Cavs have really shown their depth as of late.
Yeah, and one spot that they've really shown their depth is offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Goals. It doesn't really matter what starting lineup Tommy puts out there. He's got a goal scorer on the pitch. I mean, we've seen Joe Mason starts out hot, starts out as usual. We've had Ali Moussi score some crucial goals for us. As we've said, Mayor Bevin has come in, and he's looked amazing.
Oh, yeah.
when he is on the pitch. But we've had some of those players drop out of lineups, and, you know, we had a very new but yet familiar offensive hero emerge.
That's right. Arabin Pepl has played fantastic. 5 goals in his last 4 games. Doogie, could he be a contender for the Golden Boot now?
Obviously, arguably, if he can keep this up, he will be the Golden Boot winner. I mean, if he keeps up his run of form, he's played, I think, 5 or 6 games total this season, and he's tied for second top scorer just behind Alejandro Diaz, who I'm pretty sure he plays every game for Pacific.
Yeah.
Sam Salter, same idea for Halifax. And you better believe Tristan Borges is in the lineup for Forge. And he's tied with Sam Salter and Tristan Borges, 1 goal behind Alejandro Diaz. So
yeah. Pepl has emerged as one of the Cavs' most potent offensive talents this year, and what a better time to do it with the injuries to Bevin and Mason, Moussi still out and not backed up to full match fitness. Watching Pepl just do what he does best has been just a blessing.
Yeah, and we've mentioned, you know, when we saw glimpses of him in his first season with us, He gets in those positions. He finds that spot, you know, just in front of the penalty spot, just behind or in the 6-yard box.
Mm-hmm. And he knows where to be.
He might not be one of those players that's, you know, taking those Bradley Vliet type shots or taking the Ali Moussi type shots, but he knows where to be, and you better believe he knows what to do when the ball comes to him.
Yeah, now let's jump back a little bit and talk about the Cavs game against the Halifax Wanderers back on June 11th at home at ATCO Field.
Yeah, Cavalry find themselves, you know, up against some pretty formidable foes. Halifax has been a pretty tough team this year.
Yeah,
you know,
no slouch.
They're the only team to take points away from us since April 22nd in that 2-2 draw on May 15th. You know, they've beat Pacific in 3-0 fashion, have lost a couple games against Forge in same kind of fashion, a 3-0, but we've always known Forge is a tough team to play, especially if you're playing at, you know, in Hamilton at their stadium. But Halifax is one of those teams, they seem to come out every game and they don't tend to just give out goals. Mm-hmm. They're a very defensive-minded club, but they have some serious offensive talent. We've seen Akeem Garcia win the Golden Boot before.
Oh,
we've seen him score goals, and they have other guys that can do that. So, you know, there's Sam Salter is this year he's in the race for the Golden Boot. So they've always seemed to be a team that that gives us a run for their money. And because of this, Cavs are really looking to maximize all their points against this team.
Yeah, and Cavs find themselves defending early, but doing a great job to keep Halifax, you know, a little at a distance. Both attempts early on, do little to really test Marco Carducci.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen Marco Carducci. He's a keeper that you really gotta get moving on his line if you're gonna test him. Like, he does such a good job cutting down angles and predicting where crosses are gonna go and predicting when to come off of his line to, you know, to rush out and snuff a through ball out or that kind of thing. So, you know, we did exactly what we need to do. Keep them at a distance, like you said, and don't let them get any of those easy opportunities. They can take shots from 30 yards out, you know, those curlers into the top corner. They can try those all day. That's what we want. You know, Marco will cover the easy ones, and he'll make some saves on some of those hard ones too.
Absolutely. Yeah, just 20 minutes into the game, Cavs find themselves with a great opportunity down the left flank. Sending a cross over to Ben Fisk. It is smartly cleared by Gander. Only see Joe Mason follow it up, and Oxer just gets a touch on it, but it is cleared off the line by Santos for Halifax, so lucky for Halifax on that one.
Yeah, but, and as we said, good defense. You know, that they're a team that they've always got guys back, and they're always ready for, you know, for that kind of thing. And we've seen Oxner is a formidable keeper in his own. So
I think he's been there the whole time for Halifax too, just like Marco.
Yep. Definitely. And he's, you know, he's been in the run for Golden Glove. I can't remember if he won Golden Glove in the Island Games or not.
He might have, yeah.
But I think he may have actually won the Golden Glove that year. So he's a solid keeper, and he's very reliable. So, you know, as we said about the Halifax Wanderers, Cavs, same thing. They're going to need something special to get it by Oxner.
Speaking of something special, Bradley Viette, he has shown some great prowess defensively, but he has also shown glimpses that he could be an offensive threat as well, especially from a distance.
Yeah, he really has. I mean, he's got a heck of a shot on him. Like, I've seen 3 or 4 games already so far where he's not afraid to either take a one-timer shot of, you know, a clearance that comes out to him, take that settling touch and just smash it on net. He's definitely got a shot on him, and we've seen him, you know, make breaks up the field as well in that left back position. So he's somebody who's a little bit of an unsung hero, but I think he's made a world of difference to the team since coming in.
Yeah, sometimes when you're committing offensively too, especially when you have Viette going in, taking a crack, you know, kind of leaves us open for that counter. And, you know, you often see it in football that a chance one direction leads to a chance right back the other direction. And in this case, Halifax storm out of their zone and find the always dangerous Akeem the Dream Garcia.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a player you do not want the ball to land to inside the box unchallenged. You know, he gets the ball, did have some Cavs players, you know, covering him a little bit, but he makes a great touch around the Cavalry defense and is just denied yet again by Marco Carducci. You know, great save. It was a hard shot. Again, Marco did all the work beforehand. He was in the right spot, just had to make sure he got his hands on it, and he did.
He was a busy keeper there in that first half.
I would say he was the busier of the two keepers thus far in the game. So, you know, again, it's looking to be another tough game against Halifax.
Yeah, and Halifax, keep that pressure on. 35 minutes in, Mason Trafford heads a contended ball in the box only to find a Halifax player pick it up unluckily, but the ball ricochets off the upright, completely beating Marco Carducci, so we're lucky to get out of that one in one piece.
Yeah, great strike by Gagnon Lapierre.
Thank you for pronouncing that name for me. I just skipped right over it.
That's what I'm here for. You know, tough break for him. It's on another day, you see that, you know, nick the bottom of the bar, go in, just slot in the top corner. But in this case, Cavalry were lucky. It hits the post, goes out, and, you know, the first half ends 0-0 with Halifax arguably seeing the majority of the chances in that half.
You bet, yeah, but the deadlock would not last long into the second half. A minute, maybe 2 minutes in, it's Arabin Pepl to deliver just something special.
Yeah, second goal of the season, you know, and off another set play. This has been Cavalry's bread and butter so far. You know, Fisk's set piece ball gets headed back across goal by Karifa Yao, who does such a good job getting up in the air, both on defense and offensively, and who's there? Arabin Pepl. He reaches out, getting a great contact on the ball, just beating out the Halifax defender to it, and he volleys it into the far corner of the net. What a shot!
Oh yeah, Cavs are up 1-0, but Pepl was just warming up. He followed that up with a second goal in the 64th minute.
He was not done there, you know. He gets almost in the exact same position, has a ball fall to him, little loftier of a ball this time, so he tries the acrobatic bicycle kick, just doesn't quite get over top of the ball, so it sends it up high, sends it over the bar, but you can really see, you know, the cogs working in this kid. He's ready to, you know, ready to attack in any way that he has to, whether it's, you know, a simple let the ball fall and take a nice easy pass into the corner, get his head on it, get some volleys. I mean, he's looking for every single way that he can to get a ball on net.
Yeah, and Halifax still had their chances in the last 20 minutes, but nothing was getting past Marco Carducci. And the Cavs walk away with that 1-0 victory over the Wanderers. Doogie, your thoughts on the Cavs' performance in this game?
Yeah, another gritty, gritty performance by Cavalry. And this is what we need to see. We need to see these types of performances against tough teams like this.
Yeah, when just grind out that win.
That you need the points. It's all about the points. It doesn't matter if Pepl gets his bicycle kick goal, if we draw or lose. As I've said in the standings, they're so close, it can mean the difference between two or three positions in the blink of an eye. So it was great performance by them. I mean, Arabin Pepl, possibly game of the season so far. Possibly to be rivaled by some of the upcoming games. But,
every game's almost a game of the season for this kid.
He seems to just be stepping in and looks to one-up himself almost, right? And that's what we like to see. And then, of course, we've had Marco Carducci. Just a typically solid game for him. No mistakes. Made a couple good saves to save us. And preserves yet another clean sheet for the Cavalry.
Yeah, I've just been so impressed by Pepl. He has been unstoppable since rejoining the club. You know, he had some trials with some English teams, I think it was last year, and it was sad to see that he didn't get signed by one of those clubs. It would have been great to see his development over in, you know, the Championship. The Premier League would be fantastic, but somewhere in one of those English teams. But boy, we're glad to have him back.
Yeah, and who knows, Sheffield United might come knocking again. I believe that was one of the teams he had a trial with, and if they're watching CPL highlights, they might be kicking themselves right now, or they might be trying to get Tommy and the boys on the phone to see if they can have another look at him.
Well, that's something Tommy said in the last post-game press conference. His phone has been ringing. People are calling up Tommy, looking at this talent. So, I mean, are we going to see Pepl head off somewhere? Maybe on a loan? Maybe we'll see Meyer Bevan head off on a loan? You never know. Some of these players, they're just hitting their stride.
Getting their toes wet.
There
I know. It's I think the best is still to come for some of these guys. And like you said, it's... I would be very hard-pressed to think that there aren't teams looking at some of these boys. They've really, when they get their opportunity, they've really made the best of it. Meyer Bevan's wonder goal against the Whitecaps, you know, Arabin Pepl has just, I would have to think he's on the hottest streak currently for goal scoring in the entire league.
Yep.
And, you know, it's... Yeah, these boys are definitely going to be drawing attention from all over the world.
Yeah, in the most recent press conference, actually, Arabian Pebble said that he styles his game after Romelu Lukaku. So I can see it.
I can definitely see that. You know, same style.
Yep.
Big boys. Mm-hmm. He's maybe not the tallest boy on the pitch. He is a tall guy, but
great physical presence. Great physical player.
Could probably play rugby if he wanted to. Like I don't think you're going to be pushing him off the ball too often. Same as Romelu Lukaku. He's a player that when he gets the ball on his feet and gets his body between you and the ball, good luck getting it.
Let's jump ahead a little bit. A few days to June 15th, Cavalry are taking on Valor FC at Investors Group Field in Winnipeg. You know, Valor has been struggling, and the Cavs roll into Winnipeg looking to, you know, kick them when they're down. So Valor with only one win in their last seven matches, I think, across all competitions.
Yeah, it's been a tough stretch for Valor, and it's, you know... A Valor fan would probably say this is a little too like the last couple seasons. They've had really hot start when they had the bubble in Winnipeg, and then we saw them really drop off the race, bit by bit the later that the season went on. So this is a game that Valor fans, the Valor team, are really going to have to try and get some points out of, and they're really, you know, really going to try and get themselves back on, you know, their own two feet. They've kind of been, in a boxing term, been knocked down, and they're really going to have to work to get themselves back up and get themselves back into the race.
Since their convincing 6-1 win against Atletico Ottawa, Valor have seen their offense dry up almost completely. Only 7 goals in their last 7 games, and only 5 points to show for it.
Yeah, 2 draws and 1 win. So, you know, it has not been a great showing for Valor as of late. But as we've seen, you know, the CPL is full of surprises, and I really do believe any team in this league can beat any other team this league in a one-off match, as we've seen in the first season. Forge.
I love to bake, but I either don't have the time or I'm missing a crucial ingredient. That all changed when I discovered Lazy Bake. Baking kits delivered right to your door. I just need a couple basic ingredients and I'm baking like a pro. All you need is water for delicious campfire cookies or a can of beer for the Dilipino beer bread. Lazy Bake makes baking a breeze for even the most inexperienced baker. Visit lazybake.com and enter promo code BRBFOOTY for 20% off your first order. Lazybake.com, promo code BRBFOOTY. Lazy Bake, baking made easy.
This is another game Cavalry really need the points out of, but Valor really need the points as well. So, they're going to need a hot start to this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cavalry got that hot start just 4 minutes in. Who else?
Who?
Who else?
Who?
Arabian Pebble just killing it. He peels away from the Valor defender on that corner kick to find himself wide open the far side of the box. And call it a little bit of luck. I don't know. I think he was kind of trying to cross the ball maybe towards some other Cavalry players in the box, but we'll take what we can get.
Regardless, it is, you know, it's the way that this kid has been playing. He sends a well-placed volley across the net into a really dangerous position.
Yep.
And Stefan Sibara, he's unable to deal with it. If he doesn't deal with it, it goes into the mix of things, and you know, you're risking a guy like Joe Mason sticking his toe out and getting something on it. And unfortunately for Valor, Sibara does get his touch on it, but he finds it go, right into the back of the net, and it's an own goal for 1-0 Cavalry.
Yeah, and Cavs kept the pressure on, and on the start of the 6 minute, Elliot Simmons finds a ball cleared out to him just 30 yards out, and wow. What a strike by Simmons. Absolutely smashes the ball off the post. I didn't expect him to really even take a shot from that distance. But, you know, on another day, another step to the left, that would have been in the back of the net.
100%. And, you know, to Valor, to be fair, are lucky to escape the first 5 minutes of this game down 1-0. Could have easily been 2-0. And Simmons is one of those players. He's got a foot on him. It's same Norman Jr. Yeah. We have some boys that can really kick the ball of Liette when it drops to them. They don't hesitate too much about taking that shot if they see the lane, and good on him. You know, it was a great shot by Simmons, and he just hits the post, unfortunately for him.
Yeah, Valor are lucky to escape one goal down just in the first 5 minutes, but their luck was short-lived as they would shoot themselves in the other foot in the 15th minute with a giveaway to Elliot Simmons in a dangerous position.
Yeah, and this is something Elliot Simmons just does game in and game out for us. He battles for balls, wins loose balls, and what does he do when he wins it? He quickly turns loose Sergio Camargo, who we've seen, he loves running at defenders.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to challenge him, he'll do something with it. And in this situation, Valor did not pressure him, and he saw his lane, took the shot, just outside of the box, bottom right corner, goal.
Catches Sirwa sleeping. He doesn't even flinch when that ball sails by his left-hand side.
Feet were rooted. He didn't even make a step there, but it's, you know, Valor as a whole right here. None of the defenders stepped up against him. Mind you, I think it was Joe Mason making his typical runs for a through ball. He kind of draws that center defender with him because he's thinking, I can't let Mason, you know, sneak in behind me if one of my other defenders are keeping him onside, or if it's a perfectly placed and perfectly timed ball. So he goes with Mason. Sergio sees the opening and he takes it.
Good on him. So that's 2-0, Cavs lead. I think that was how the first half ended. Two goals up for the Cavs. And early on in the second half, Bradley Viette finds himself with a glimpse of goal in his usual position outside the box and smashes a ball that Sirwa needs to get a hand on. And he does. He keeps it out.
Yeah, and as I said, like, he's going to get one of these goals. And when I kind of think when Vliet gets his goal, it's going to be a highlight reel one because, as I said, he does not need a lot of time to settle a ball, and he knows where to strike it to keep that ball down low. But wow, does he get power behind it too. You know, I can't think of many, if any, shots that he's had that sail over the net. But almost every shot that he has is just, you know, it's with a driver. He is just smashing it. So, unlucky, you know, great attempt, and probably should be saved by Sirwa. But it's, you know, another day you find the keeper sleeping, and there's not a lot of time to react to these shots. So as of now, still 2-0 Cavs, but they're keeping the pressure on.
Yeah, Valor does try to make it interesting. They got on the board in the 56th minute with a moment of skill from Walter Ponce. Some acrobatics to beat Marco Cargaducci.
And that's what you need to beat Marco. I mean, the cavalry keeper, Marco, he had no chance with this ball. The ball kind of gets pinballed a little bit off of heads and stuff in the box, and it comes, you know, lofts down to Walter Ponce, and he doesn't hesitate. He jumps in, gives the acrobatic bicycle kick, maybe what Pepple was trying to get the last game, but he gets over top of it, hits it down into the ground, and he finds that corner perfectly. It just bounces off the inside of the post. Marco was racing over to try and get there, but, you know, he wasn't going to get there on the first attempt, and the ball off the post was already going in by the time he did get there. So next thing you know, it's 2-1 Cavs.
Yeah, Cavs' lead is cut in half, but it wouldn't last all that long. Cavs regained their two-goal cushion in the 60th minute.
Yeah, and yet another set piece in the 60th minute, headed goalwards by Dan Klomp, and only to see Mason Trafford, a bit of a rare goal by him. And yeah, what a touch by him. If you remember that goal, comes down and he gets a one-touch volley with the outside of his right boot, just beats Sirawa. And yeah, good for him. I think, you know, he's really deserved that. And he's not always in the muck of things offensively, but as you've seen when he is, he's got the talent. And yeah, really, really happy to see him get his goal, because that was a world-class touch by him. No hesitation, and it didn't need a lot. You just needed to redirect it, and that's exactly what he does.
Yeah, and Cavs smell blood. And in the 64th minute, they get another dangerous set piece. Joe Mason coyly flicks the ball onto Arabin Pepl at the top of the box to send it over the line and underneath Sirwa. That's 4-1 now for the Cavs, but Valor still had some fight left in them.
Yeah, and another gritty goal by Pepl. I mean, he has shown his worth and shown why he is so important to this team. Doesn't give up on balls. You know, I think the ball was likely going to cross the line, regardless of if he, you know, followed up. But who was the first person on the line trying to stuff it in while it was, you know, trickling over? Arabin Pepl. Yeah. He just has a no die, does not give up attitude. And yeah, it's very obvious to see. And he's been getting rewarded for it.
Yeah, and in the 68th minute, Valor have a good opportunity on net. They get like three attempts on Marco Carducci, and the big man stands tall, makes three great saves. But Valor do add a goal late in the game. I think it was in stoppage time. Too little, too late to do anything. 4-2, final score. Cavs take home 3 points.
Yeah, it was a gritty win again. But I think Cavalry kind of outclassed them a bit. Valor, you know, they're really struggling to find their form, especially offensively. Got a late goal, but, you know, as you said, too little, too late. And it's kind of at a point where Cavs are up 4-1. I think, you know, they're kind of just going through the motions, killing out the game. It was a bit of an unlucky goal, I believe. I believe Adekube slipped when the ball was passed to him. Yeah. So that broke in the Valor offense, and they got a shot on Marco. Maybe another day he might actually hold that, or at least punch it in a different direction. But the punch goes right back out to a Valor player who stuffs it by him, on from the wing. So it's, like I said, a gritty game, you know, 4-2, but I really think Cavalry, they just outclassed them in that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And man of the match definitely goes again, I think, to the big man, Arabin Pepl. Played a fantastic game. Great game offensively. Always put himself in the right position and grinding out goals in the 6-yard box.
Yeah, and, you know, honorable mention to Joe Mason. We haven't necessarily seen him on the score sheet as much these last few games, but he's more than just a goal scorer. Mm-hmm. He is an integral part to the Cavalry offense, whether he finishes the play or not with the goal. His movement, his offensive awareness, it's irreplaceable. And, you know, he makes the defenders, as I said, makes the defenders think, and that's something defenders don't want to be thinking. Yeah. They like when it's easy, no-brainer, pass goes here, clear it out, you know, take this tackle, this is what I do. But when you have people like Joe Mason running at you, making those diagonal runs, making those through runs, doing those one-touch layoffs like he has in past games, it makes the whole team dangerous. And honorable mention to him. He just seems to really make that offense tick for us.
And you can't forget about Marco Carducci. You know, sometimes he's just the unsung hero playing back there. We take it for granted sometimes that Marco's going to play fantastic. He's at the top of his game.
I feel like we honestly almost have to mention him every game.
Yeah.
There's a reason he's our first signing to the Cavalry team, and he's been an absolute staple since the very beginning. He is invaluable to this team, and we've seen it game after game after game. So, yeah, he's another player, again, has a great game. Little blunder, I guess, if you would call it that, in the penalty or stoppage time minutes. But at the same time, he's also making three saves in a row for us and standing on his head when he needs to. So, yeah, I to me, Arabim, Joe Mason, and Marco were just the standouts in that game.
Absolutely. And now let's fast forward, a bit of a break in between those two games, that game and the next game here against FC Edmonton on June 26th, back at home at ATCO Field. They face off against their provincial rivals. It's the top of the table taking on the bottom of the table with the latest edition of the El Clasico. Man, this latest weekend at Spruce Meadows, what a beautiful day for footy. Couldn't have asked for a better day. Not a single cloud in the sky, yet the storm clouds were building up around the eddies as they try to find their second win of the season.
Yeah, what a day, and possibly the nicest day yet. And Cavalry, they look to continue their dominance over the Eddies. I mean, if you look back in the brief CPL history with the Eddies, Cavalry have 12 wins, 2 losses, and 1 draw against the Eddies, and that's in 15 all-time matches. So this is one that, yeah, it's, you know, it is the Eddies. They are bottom of the table, but it's also a game that you need to come out with points. You need to beat these teams at the bottom of the table because everyone else is beating them. Everyone else is getting their points from them. We need to do the same. And it's a very important game. And as we've seen, the Eddies, the El Clasico always seems to draw an attendance, doesn't it, Shafe?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we love our provincial rivals. This last weekend, both football teams in Calgary were playing Edmonton. You know, the Elks were in town to face off against the Stamps on the Saturday, and I can only assume that they must have carpooled all together because here come FC Edmonton down to face off against the Cavs here. So, like you said, we needed this win, and we needed to start off strong.
But that being said, so do the Eddies, and they look to take advantage early as, you know, Adekube uncharacteristically gives the ball away in the Cavalry zone, and we see an ex-Cavalry player, Gabriel Bitar, he absolutely smashes it from distance off the crossbar.
Yeah, it was a great shot by him, and I think he had more to say there later on in the game as well. He has one heck of a boot on him, and you know, this, as you're saying, this I think is the second game running where Adekube has given the ball away in a dangerous spot, resulting in a goal or a post or at least a chance from the opponent.
Yeah, and you know, we kind of want to see Adekube maybe just be a little simpler at the back, and you know, it's easier said than done, right? And I'm to be fair, the goal against the Cavs with Valor FC in the stoppage time minutes, I mean, the ball comes to him and just as it's getting to him, he loses his footing and slips out, and it's really tough to kind of put a blame on that kind of a play on the player, but you know, as we said, it's just kind of clear your head there, lad, and, you know, take your time, do the simple stuff, get it out, do a simple back pass, do what you have to do, just don't give the ball away, and apparently don't give the ball away to Gabriel Bitar. He seemed to have something to prove this game.
Yeah, absolutely. He played well against his former club here in the Cavs. And then the Cavs did come out strong as well. It was the 23rd minute. Cavalry get a good breakaway chance when Sergio Camargo finds himself streaking in on goal, but is denied by the Eddies keeper, kicking out a foot to make that save. Eddie's keeper was the only thing keeping this game from being an absolute blowout. He played well. He put himself on the line, and there's not much more he could have done.
Yeah, I believe Vekla, Vyakla,
something like
Vekla.
That.
Vekla. I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it, but he's looked to be a good signing for the Eddies. I mean, he has he's played well. You cannot put these losses against him this year. He's stood on his head when he has a chance and when he can, and he did so this time. It's a typical classic play by Sergio Camargo. I mean, we've seen this time in and time out. He loves those runs, and he's always looking to get that one step ahead of the defense and break himself into the box. And like you said, great save by the Eddies keeper.
Yeah, he did everything he could. But it wasn't enough. 26th minute, the Cavs break the deadlock, and we see a similar set piece result in a goal for the Cavs.
Yeah, as I said, set pieces seem to be Cavalry bread and butter right now. It's, balls sent over, all the waiting players in the box, but Adekube is there to retrieve it. And this is what we need to see more of from Adekube. He makes a beautiful play, fairly simple play even. He draws the defender out, staring at him, staying face-to-face and goal-facing with him the entire time. And right when he sees the Eddies defender reach in, he just pops the ball up and moves around him there. And then what does he do? Everything that any good attacking player should. He bolts for the byline and looks for a ball into the box.
Man, and who else would the ball fall to is Arabin Pepl.
Yeah, and as we've seen, like, when you get hot, you can't go wrong sometimes, it seems. And that seems to be what Arabin Pepl's game is right now. He finds the ball on his foot yet again, just inside the penalty spot, and makes no mistake, the ball had to be a little forced over the line, but when you're lucky, you're good, and when you're good, you're lucky. So
yeah, I think that bounced back towards him and then off his knee and then into the goal. And in the post-game press conference, someone's like, did that go off your knee? And he's like, I don't know. I think so. It went in, though. So, I mean, that's all that matters in the end.
It was pretty close to the Eddies defender's knee as well. Yeah. But just seeing how Pepl's been playing, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt and guess he got something on it, just like he got something on that volley. So, yet again, Arabin Pepl really, really coming in clutch when we need it.
Yeah, he's in God's good graces right now, that's for sure. And in the 29th minute, Escalante and Pepl link up to cause some more trouble for the Eddies. In the box there, Escalante sends a ball over for Pepl to tap it in, but unlucky for the Eddies, they kind of bumble it and put it into their own goal.
Yeah, and I mean, like you had said, if they don't get a touch on that, Pepl's first in the golden boot race, tied for first. It's... there's no way he's missing something like that. So the Eddies, the Eddies defense get a foot on the ball, and unfortunately it kind of bumbles over the line for an own goal. Yeah. I believe it even bonks off the post in between the keeper and the post as he's scrambling to get back in the center of his net. So tough break for them, but as I said, when you're good, you're lucky, and when you're lucky, you're good. And
like
Arabin Pepl is that right now.
Absolutely. 2-0 for the Cavs. And it was just before halftime that the Eddies' most dangerous player in the game, and Gabriel Bitar, again finds himself with an opportunity well outside the box, sends it in, smashing a shot into the top right corner of the Cavalry net. A moment of class for the Eddies.
Wonder goal. I mean, this goal is unbelievable play by Bitar. It's up there, very similar, could almost argue tougher than the Meyer Bevin goal. Same result, same corner. But he has, when he receives the ball, he has to turn and has his back to the Cavalry goal, dips a shoulder one way, and turns the other, just eluding the Caps defense, and he takes no time, makes no mistake, smashes it, as you said, top right corner, wonderful goal, and congratulations to you, Gabrielle. It's good to see you, getting some starting minutes, and I think he's a player that if FC Edmonton's listening, you might want to hold on to that guy and build a team around someone like that.
Everyone in the crowd is groaning as that goes in to end the first half. I couldn't help but give a little good golf clap for that one. It was just a great goal, a moment of class there for the Eddies, but the Eddies couldn't build off that moment of class going into the second half when just 2 minutes in, the Eddies give away a penalty as Sergio Camargo dances in on the wing, and in a clumsy challenge, he goes down in the box to give Pepple, set him up for another goal on the night.
Yeah, no mistake by Pepple, and great to see. It doesn't seem like we have that penalty cavalry curse anymore. We've got some players that can really step up to the spot now. And very clumsy challenge by Gonzalez. For me, not sure it was unintentional or it was quite, I guess, enough for the penalty. I guess I do see the penalty. It's just Camargo maybe went down a little bit easy, but Gonzalez the entire time is, he's lost a step on Camargo. And this is, just like I said, Camargo's always looking to get that one step on players. And if he feels a hand on his shoulder, he feels anything, he'll go down, and that's kind of what happened. Gonzalez was spinning, his arms were kind of everywhere. Like I say, I don't think he really pulled or hit him too hard, but he did. Yep. And
I agree with you. I mean, from the ref's angle, I could understand awarding a penalty. From where we were camped out at the corner kick patio, you could tell Sergio was just kind of waiting for a touch so that he could go down. But a pen is a pen, and we'll take it.
And that's these pros do this all day, all night, in their sleep.
Yeah.
You cannot grab a jersey in the box. You cannot, put your arm across somebody's shoulder. They're always looking for it. Doesn't matter if it's a player with that kind of reputation or not. They all know, hey, you feel that on your back. You feel the guy tugging. You feel it.
You go
to ground. Yep. And majority of the time you're going to get that call. So I don't necessarily think it was a bad call. Just maybe a tough one for the Eddies. But as I said, if you're defending in that manner and you're scrambling to get back, that kind of stuff is always liable to happen.
Eddies do get a good opportunity, though, on net. They still did have their chances. And I think it was a wide open CJ Smith who could have done a little bit more.
Yeah, very, very much should have. He kind of spurns this opportunity, and it was a tame shot right into the middle of Marco. I mean, yet again, Marco knows exactly where to be. He's always on his game, and he cuts that angle down. Didn't have to do much to make this save, but really probably should have been dealt with better by CJ Smith. I really, really do think that should have been a second Eddie's goal, but
as get away with it.
Yeah, as we see, tame shot into Marco, saved, and Cavalry win the game 3-1 against the Eddies.
Yeah, Arabin Pepple, are we ever going to stop talking about this kid in the pod? He has dominated this month.
Not this episode, we're not. He looks to be the real deal. I mean, he's absolutely ruthless offensively. And I really think some of that, whether he actually, got signed with any of these teams over in England, I think that he's gained some very invaluable training and invaluable lessons from that trip over there, because he's came back and looked like a brand new player. He's always been in those positions. We've mentioned, the first season we watched, he seems to get in those positions between the penalty spot and the 6-yard box, and he's always looking to get a foot or get his head on it. But he just his confidence right now and just his offensive prowess is unbelievable. He does look to be the real deal right now.
Yeah, unbelievable. And you know, as I was saying earlier, I caught up with my friend Dave McIver. He's the sports guy at 770 CHQR on the morning show with Sue and Andy, delivering the sports every day, Monday to Friday. And I was picking his brain. He's the sports guy, picking his brain about his thoughts after the game. I think it was only his second CPL game ever. First since the pandemic. He went back in 2019, and I don't think as much is going to keep him away.
You were picking his brain on, like, vacation spots and, right? Oh, no, you said no, he's right, the sports
right,
guy.
Sports guy.
You were
picking
his brain on
picking
sports.
Picking his brain on sports. So.
Well, let's hear what he has to say.
It was a really nice effort by the Cavs. You know, I've been watching more soccer, as you know, Reese. Listener disclaimer, I just started getting into the game, like, 2-3 years ago, so I still have a lot to learn. But yeah, it was the way they played. The they just possessed the ball,
yeah.
Right? Like they had the ball. What felt like most of the first half, and then into the second half. Of course, when you're sitting back and protecting your lead, once you're up 3-1, you know FC Edmonton's going to get their looks and get their chances the way they played. But the way the Cavs possessed the ball and they just placed the ball so well down the sides of the pitches. Like I didn't expect it to be. I'll be honest, I didn't expect the soccer to be that good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I watch it on TV and I know it's good soccer.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get down there and you watch it live, you can really appreciate it more because you're watching them make those long balls down the side of the pitch or, you know, across the pitch, which is always fun for me to see. So, yeah, I thought it was, you know, an excellent effort by them. I think they're at the top of the table right now, a couple games in hand on a lot of the teams around them. They're in really good shape to make a run this year. And I'll tell you what, Reese, that will not be my last game for another 3 years, pandemic
Good.
Or no pandemic. I'll be definitely going back.
Glad to hear it. I'll look for you down there. Dave, thanks for taking the time to chat with me this morning.
Always a pleasure, my
All
friend.
Right.
Yeah, so the Cavalry find themselves in first place in the standings with 23 points. Forge at 17. Atletico, 18 points. And Pacific, 19 points. Everyone is nipping at each other's heels. And there's a little bit of a differential between games played.
17 points for Forge. They have 2 games on us. They've only played 9 matches, and we've played 11. So sitting at 17 points, and we're sitting at 23 points, if they win their next 2 games, next thing we know, we're tied with them, and it goes into goal difference. And currently, they have a better goal difference than us.
Yeah, unfortunately. So we'll have to see what happens here coming up in the next run of games. Cavalry are in a good run of form, but Forge are looking pretty sharp as well. They've won 4 games and drawn 1 recently.
Yet again, another season where we're going to have to watch out for them. We're going to have to keep them at arm's distance. And this year, it's extremely important to get that first place in the season. They've actually announced that if you win the league and get first place over the season, they have announced that you will be entered into the CONCACAF Champions League along with the winner of the league after playoffs. So
that's awesome. We don't have to take the crown overall anymore. If you just win the league, win the season before the playoffs, you're in.
Yeah, where was that 2019, huh?
Awesome. All right, let's do some predictions here. Let's do this rapid-fire style. So let's look at the next 3 games, at least here for the Cavs. We're in Pacific's home turf at Starlight Stadium on the 30th of June. Who's taking it, Doogie?
You know, I can't go against the Cavs right now. The way that they're playing, we might see some of these other players like Bevan, you know.
This is rapid fire.
Yeah, we might see some of those players come back in. I'm going with a Cavalry win 2-0 against Pacific in their own stadium.
I like that. I'm going with a 2-2 draw in this one. And then we come back and we are facing Atletico, going out to the other side of the country to face them on their home turf on July 9th, 5 p.m. kickoff in this one. I'm calling for a 3-2 victory for the Cavs.
You know, I can never do the rapid fire thing. I'm always throwing stats out there. I'm always doing this, but Atletico has always given us a hard time.
It's going to be hard fought.
It's going to be a tough game. I'm going with a gritty 1-0 win for the Cavs.
back home July 14th to face off against the Wanderers here at ACCO Field. This is going to be playing to the Cavalry strengths. We're back at home. We're taking this game 2-0.
I'm going with a 2-1 win for the Cavs.
Classic 2-1 victory. So let's see if Cavalry can maintain their dominance, stick around at the top of the table, and maybe run away with it. I'd like to see that.
I would be very, very happy going into August, going into, September with a good three-finger scotch
good
lead
cushion.
Against some of these other teams. That's what I'm really hoping for, because no mucking about this year. Let's get first place in the season, and let's win the league.
Absolutely. Let's get to the CONCACAF, but we have to wait. That's why they play the games. You have to get out there, see what the competition's like, and hopefully we can bring it home. All right, that about does it for another edition of the Bow River Brigade podcast. Music is by local Calgarian musician Mitch Bellot. MitchBellot.com. That's MitchBellot.com.
Follow us on any of the social media platforms at BRBFooty. That's BRBFooty. Shoot us an email, give us some banter, send us some Bill Burr emails, beak us off, do whatever. We want to hear from you guys. That's at brbfooty@gmail.com.
Yeah, get into the conversation, send your hate mail our way, and until next time, march on.
BRB.